Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to this session. The title is Collaborative Leadership Strategies and Tools that Assist Communities in Achieving Public Health Outcomes. I'll be your moderator today. My name is Jeanette Kowalik, and I am a PhD candidate at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and I am also Director of Health for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Milwaukee. So, of course, this topic is dear to me because that's how we achieve a lot of our health outcomes is by partnerships and collaborating with the university, other providers, and researchers in our community. So we have, as of now, three presenters are present. The first presentation, which is Middleton, will be bumped to the end of the session. So if you're timing, you know, your goings and comings, please do so quietly. The first presenter will be Alan Card, and then Sharon Lavelle, or Dr. Lavelle, and Amy Vance. And again, Middleton, or Dawn Middleton, will be last. So if the presentation's in a little early, we'll have a little bit of time to do questions and answers. Otherwise, we'll wait until the end of the session to have that Q&A session. All right? Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Alan Card. I'm from the University of Cambridge Engineering Design Center. As you see, I have no relationships to disclose, so I would like to thank the Health Administration section for generously giving me a scholarship to help me come here. I apologize in advance if I'm a little incoherent. My last session ran over, so my cup didn't. And I need coffee in the morning. I'm going to be presenting on risk assessment techniques in public health administration. And by risk assessment techniques, I mean risk assessment techniques known to the risk management community. There are quite a number of formal risk assessment techniques that they use. A lot of them have come out of the power generation and manufacturing industries, power generation especially including the nuclear industry. And they proved useful in the healthcare sector and in environmental and occupational health. Patient safety especially has been taking up some of these, albeit with perhaps a little bit too little adaptation before adoption. It's unclear, however, whether they are being used in the public health administration sector. It's important that we define risk because there are a lot of different uses for this same word. In the context of public health, it often just means probability, the likelihood that something will happen. You know, you look at a relative risk. That's all it's taking into account. In the risk management community, they define risk as the effect of uncertainty on objectives. That's according to ISO 31000, which is the international standard for risk management. Usually, this is expressed in terms of likelihood versus severity, likelihood times severity, or consequence, as you see in that. So, for instance, if it was a catastrophic consequence with a likelihood that was fairly rare, it'd be a 5. You know, that sort of thing, 5 times 1, 5. And what is risk management, according to the risk management community? Well, again, according to ISO 31000, it's this model here. You start off with establishing the context. This is a sort of policy basis and objectives of your risk management process. And then you move on to risk identification, finding out what the risks might be. Risk analysis, that's finding out what the nature of those risks are and estimating their likelihood and severity. And then risk evaluation, that's just a step of deciding whether you need to do anything about it or whether you can accept the risk as it is. Then you move on to risk treatment, which is otherwise known as risk control. That's a step where you do something about it. And all of this happens in the context of continuous communication and consultation and monitoring and review. And it's important to note that this is a very iterative process, not only coming around after risk treatment to go back to risk identification, but even within these steps, iteration after iteration to get it right. Today we're going to be talking about risk assessment, which starts with risk identification, moves on to risk analysis, and goes on to risk evaluation. ISO 31010, I can never say that one, is the companion standard to ISO 31000, and it provides further guidance on risk assessment. And it describes 31 different risk assessment techniques. Among these are those that are most often used in healthcare administration, like root cause analysis. This is a retrospective technique. You wait for something to go wrong, then you try to figure out how it went wrong so that you can fix it. How and why. The failure mode and effects analysis, this is a prospective risk analysis risk assessment technique that takes you all the way from risk identification through risk evaluation. Risk matrices, and that's just that 5x5 matrix that you saw earlier. That's for risk evaluation. After you have a sense of what the risk is, do you need to do something about it? And see, those color bands, those are to denote different risk tolerability levels. For instance, if it's in the red, clearly you need to do something about it very urgently. That's how those are used. And brainstorming, actually, though this is primarily used in adjunct to the previous three, or just for risk identification alone. The research question for this project was, which of these 31 risk assessment techniques have been used in public health administration? And have those ones that have been used elsewhere in the health sector been used in health administration? And then what can we learn about the use of them from the way they were characterized in the literature? Were they too difficult to use, too time-consuming? Were they easy? Were they super useful? Those sorts of things. So we did systematic review using PubMed and the MeSH term, Public Health Administration, and then just pairing that with, as you see there, risk or risk or hazard, and the risk assessment technique of interest. This was 31 different risk assessment techniques. So it was very long and tedious. But the reason I wanted to do this is because my research focus is on that risk treatment step. Once you've done the risk assessment, what are you going to do about it? And I had to find out what we're currently doing to set that up. What is the risk assessment strategy that we use in public health administration? The inclusion criteria is English language, describes an application of the named risk assessment technique, and risk management was defined very broadly for this project. It's one of those generic approaches that you can use for many different things. And I didn't want to exclude anything that was at least in some way risk management. But it does mean that many of the uses included didn't have the flavor of traditional risk management. We got 49 studies came up covering 10 different risk assessment techniques. But only 12 studies qualified, covering 5 risk assessment techniques, most often because they didn't actually apply the risk assessment technique that was mentioned in the paper. And these are the risk assessment techniques that got used. There's a Delphi technique, was one of them. Checklist came in once in Monte Carlo simulation. Cost-benefit analysis 3 times, and structured or semi-structured interviews, which of course we're all familiar with, came up 6 times. None of them reported that the use of the methods most common in healthcare risk management and patient safety that I mentioned earlier. And very few of them described anything about the use of the method at all. One of them noted that the cost-benefit analysis required considerable expertise and investment in time. And the structured and semi-structured interviews, 3 of those papers, did describe the fact that new coding schemes, new themes and categories emerged over the course of the study, so that they had to revise their tools as they went along. And we really didn't learn anything else about the cost, the time investment, how easy they were to use for public health administration. This is a very wide open area if any of you are interested. So risk management is a core function of public health administration. This is what we deal with every day, the effect of uncertainty on objectives, the objective of public health. Got healthcare reform, potentially the lack of healthcare reform, pandemic influenza, budget shortfalls, climate change, all these things that we need to address. And every public health intervention that we do, every new public health intervention, is something that should be risk assessed before we put it into practice, so that we make sure we're not doing more harm than good. Over the past 20 years or so, we've seen a lot of these formal risk assessment techniques coming into the healthcare area. And it's not often that public health is behind healthcare on systems approaches to improving population health. But in this case, I think they are. They're especially using root cause analysis, which unfortunately is retrospective. That's where you wait for something to go wrong and then try to fix it. And risk matrices is the very standard way for them to do the risk evaluation piece. But increasingly, they're recognizing that a prospective approach is necessary. And they're using things like failure mode and effects analysis. And there are a number of other techniques that are moving into the healthcare realm for patient safety. At the end, I'll show you a resource that might help you if you're interested in those. And brainstorming, again, used primarily in conjunction with the above. There's been little apparent uptake of these or other formal risk assessment methods in public health administration. I looked at 31 different methods, and we only came up with six, and really only 12 papers even using those six. And most of those aren't very traditional risk management techniques in the first place, and they weren't used in traditional risk management ways. The drive for quality improvement in the face of severe budget pressures, and the drive for accreditation and quality improvement in that context implies to me that it may be time for public health administrators to adapt and adopt these methods for public health administration. Here are some resources that may be of interest. The Prospective Hazard Analysis Toolkit was developed by some of my colleagues at the University of Cambridge for healthcare, but as with my work, it's really quite generic, and it's a step-by-step toolkit to walk you through a process, and that has 10 different risk assessment techniques built into it, including a triaging one of its own. The Veterans Health Administration root cause analysis tools are pretty much the gold standard for healthcare root cause analysis, and similarly their healthcare failure mode and effects analysis is pretty much the gold standard right now for prospective healthcare risk assessment that's in practice. And that's it for me. Thank you very much.
We have about 9 minutes left, so could you do us a favor and show us examples of some of those resources?
Sure, if it'll work. I'll start here because no. Okay, apparently I can't. It's kind of hard to describe non-visually, actually, these things. Yes.
I have a question. Great talk. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe a question or a comment. So the RCA and the FNEA is something that primarily used for hospitals and Joint Commission accreditation. So are you suggesting that community health centers and community-based organizations kind of adopt those RCAs and FNEAs as part of their risk assessment tools, or no?
Yeah, essentially. Those and other tools. Frankly, I find failure mode and effects analysis is sometimes a bit more in-depth than is useful. I prefer generally, the prospective hazard analysis toolkit has a preliminary risk assessment tool in it that I think is much more useful for most things. You usually don't need to go into that depth. Or SWIFT, which is a structured what-if technique. It's a structured brainstorming technique. You get a series of prompts for things that you need to think about, and you apply those to each step in a process or system that you're developing to see whether they elicit risks that you need to look into further. Yes? Yeah, and I think that's a thing that we can do in public health because we develop new interventions. We're not always just doing the same thing. And even when we are, often we wouldn't know about any adverse events that have come up because we're not with patients. We're working with populations, and we can't see that. So I think we really have to approach it prospectively in public health as an ideal. And in any case, that's really the public health paradigm, isn't it? Prevention instead of cure. Yes?
If you could speak to the UCLA risk assessment tool and Kaiser in public health involved with the Chicago MSA, and there's many large cities that are in the
I'm not really familiar with them. I assume what you're talking about are community risk assessment tools?
Correct.
Right. My focus is more on risk assessment of interventions and risk assessment of systems and processes that you're putting in place. So I haven't really delved into that much, but certainly I think that we need to bring more risk management into everything we do, so I would hope that people would use those sorts of tools, but I can't speak to them specifically. Exactly.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Since it seems that the public health really isn't as well versed in some of the tools that you mentioned, can you provide information about any trainings or materials other than the website that might be helpful for the audience?
Not so much, because I've been working in the UK until just August. I finally came back to the US, but I've got a job at Notre Dame, so I'm over in South Bend now. And I know some of the training providers there. I do know that there is an organization called Taproot that is very large over here. I can't recommend them, even if you're allowed to recommend things, because I haven't seen their training. I don't know anything about it except that they seem to be very big. But that's really all I could say, other than that you might be able to get some training through places that are associated with the VA. There's a spin-off company that came out of the healthcare failure mode and effects analysis work that's led by Gosby, and you might be able to get some training in that through them.
I was just going to mention that the Public Health Foundation does have some training and trainers that can come to work with, like we've had them come to work on, it's focused more on polyethylene, but use some of the techniques with cause analysis, brainstorming, some of those tools to do, I think the focus is then more.
That's fantastic. I was really hoping that was the case, because to my mind, risk management and quality improvement are basically the same process, just spun on its head. In risk management, you're trying to prevent something from going wrong, and quality improvement, you're trying to make sure that it goes right. So you could very just as easily say your quality improvement objective could be addressed through risk management, in that you're addressing the risk of not meeting your quality improvement goal. The same tools and techniques, a lot of them overlap, and to the extent that they don't, I think they could be used for either one. Well, actually, these ones didn't really focus on, none of them were explicitly risk management papers. I mean, these are the sorts of things that we're looking at, things like identifying aspects of patient experience that influence care-seeking behavior, cash flow problems faced by district health managers in Ghana, organizational characteristics of diabetes outreach networks. These aren't traditional risk management papers in the first place. I think part of it, though, is also just that as a research field, public health administration is rather young. And there just may not be enough publication, and practice may be out ahead of the apparent science right now.
Okay,
thank you.
And I just have one quick announcement for those that came in a little late. We are actually switching the order because the first presenter was not present. So Alan Carr just completed his presentation. The next presentation will be Sharon Lavelle, and she has a co-presenter, correct?